So what does one learn from looking back? I think one learns the mistakes that one has made. I think you look back at occasions when perhaps you could have acted differently, and how much wiser you would have been to take a different course of action. I look back to an unguarded moment to bringing up three children, and I learned very quickly where my grey hairs came from. But these things that we learn from a human standpoint, but if you look back as a believer, you must confess, as does the hymn writer, how good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. To look back over 63 years of a relationship with God is to realize his goodness and his grace and his love. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, we read this very simple statement. Then Samuel took a stone, set it in Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." In the context, Israel had just defeated the Philistines. Their first victory over their traditional enemies for a long time. And Samuel was so pleased because this victory was gained not by the strength or the power of Israel, but it was gained by the intervention of the Lord. Hence he raised this stone, this memorial to the faithfulness of God. But to a thinking Israelite who may have been present on that occasion, he would have realized that God's help had extended for centuries. He would have realized that many years before, God had called a man named Abraham to come from his home in the Ur of the Chaldees and to follow God to a place that God would give him for an inheritance. He would realize that God had in fact made this man many promises. Promises which had been repeated to Isaac and Jacob, the son and grandson of Abraham. In order to survive a famine, Jacob and his family went to Egypt, originally in the best and most enjoyable of circumstances. But over time, those circumstances changed, and they became slaves and in desperate straits. They cried to God, and in a very miraculous way, God heard them. And that Israelite would have remembered that God appointed a man as their deliverer, a man famous throughout Scripture named Moses. And he would have remembered how Moses went into the presence of Pharaoh to plead the cause of God's people. And he would have remembered the contest that took place as Pharaoh, in all his human weakness, took on the God of the universe. And he would have remembered that desperate night. And he would have remembered because he would have celebrated it for many years. It was called the Passover, where God instructed his people to kill a lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and place it across the top and down the sides of every door. And he would have remembered how God had made that promise, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he would have remembered the crying and the mourning in Egypt the following morning, as the angel of death commissioned by God had gone through the land of Egypt and had killed every firstborn not covered by the blood. He would remember how, as a result of that, Israel was allowed to leave the promised land. He would have remembered that to make their way of escape easier, God opened a path across the Red Sea, and Israel went across on dry land. He would have remembered that God then allowed the waters to come back, drowning the army of the Egyptians. He would have remembered that God had led them to the boundaries of the promised land, and that God had sent spies in, commissioned by Moses, to spy out the land and to come back with a report for the people. And he would have remembered that 2 out of the 12 came back with a glowing and encouraging report. He would have remembered that Joshua and Caleb spoke of the fact that God would take them into the land and give them victory over their enemies. But 2 against 10, or 10 against 2, weighed heavily with the people, and they refused to go in. He would have remembered that as a result of that, God consigned them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. How that, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, not one of that generation, the older part of that generation, went into the promised land when eventually they got there. They would remember how Moses, the man who had been instrumental in their deliverance and leading them through the promised land, was forbidden to go in because he sinned against God. They would have remembered that at the end of that 40 years, that they had never wanted for food, and the shoes on their feet had never worn out. They would have remembered that through Joshua, God fulfilled his promise and led them into the land. And they would have remembered the miraculous victories given to them by God as they began to occupy the land. And this Israelite would have remembered that all this happened in spite of their sinfulness. That here was a God who, having taken them to himself, was not going to let them go, regardless of what they did. He would punish them. He would deal with their sin, but they would never lose that relationship with him. And the thinking Israelite would go through all these things in his mind. As Samuel raised this stone, calling it Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But what do I gain from reviewing my past? Well, first of all, I gain the same of Israel. I see a God who loved me and who has kept me. Even although I have failed in faithfulness to him, he has never failed in faithfulness to me. It's 20 years this weekend that I went into hospital and eventually came out and got back into normal life in September. And in that time there were 13 weeks in hospital, 11 days in a coma, 4 major operations, blood clot on the lung, and what else? Severe reaction to penicillin. And then just to top it off, I came out with diabetes. And you know, I often go back to that time and try to think about it. And you know, I can remember nothing but the care of God. And I think that's what these experiences are given to us for, that they might emphasize to us the goodness of the God that we have trusted. And when the Israelites and Samuel looked at that stone, there would be a remembrance of the past. And it was quite right what Samuel had said, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." But I would suggest to you that it was a stone of encouragement. And as I look back over my life and review some of these things, and I have a chuckle about some of them as I think about them, it gives me confidence for the future. It gives me confidence that whatever happens in my life, God is with me. It gives me confidence that when my life comes to an end, that God, the God who has kept his promise and who has kept me throughout my life, is going to take me to himself and I will be forever in his presence. The past gives us encouragement for the future. What about you? Some of you have lives about this long, and some of you have lives about this long, and some of you have lives about that long. And when you look back, what stands out to you? Pity we didn't have time for one or the other to say something. But let me ask you this. As you review your life, does it include an encounter with God that resulted in your salvation? Because if it doesn't, then nothing in your life counts for anything. If you can't go back to a time in your life when you came to know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, then you have lived an empty, wasted life. As you look back, do you, as do most of us, see missed opportunities? Opportunities of coming to grips with salvation in Christ. As a Christian, do you see missed opportunities for serving him? If you're not a Christian, Does your past represent a life of ignoring God? And let me tell you this, then you can have no confidence in the future. If you do not have a past that includes salvation in Christ, then you need to be very concerned about the future. You cannot have confidence in the future if you do not have remembrance of salvation in the past. Now, we've had enough reminders today of it being the first day of 2006. Don't ask me where 2005 has gone. Gone even faster than 2004 did. But if there's anyone here in our company who has not come to know Christ, what better day to accept him? How lovely to start 2006. Not with a New Year's resolution. They're no good. Nobody ever keeps them past the 2nd or the 3rd of January. But I tell you, if you make a resolution today to accept Christ as your Savior, it won't be a question of him keeping it, of you keeping it. It'll be a question of him keeping it, and that's an awful lot difference. Christian, as you look back, what do you see? Do you see the same as me, failures? Do you see mistakes? Do you see things that you might have done differently? And do you see the goodness of God covering every step you take in life, so that you can look back, as did Samuel, and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." 460. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. 460. Let's get a stand, please. Father, we bow in thy presence with thankful hearts. We thank you for the promise that all our needs will be supplied through the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for those bowed in your presence who know him as Savior and who have experienced his saving and keeping power. And Father, we thank thee for the confidence this gives us as we look to the future and realize that it's the same God who goes into the future with us, who has kept us in the past. We pray for any who may be with us this morning who have not come to know the Lord Jesus. And we ask that they, as they examine the past of their lives and see how empty and useless it has been, that they may turn to the Lord Jesus and accept him as Savior. We thank you again for the privilege of coming together around thy word and pray thy blessing upon it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.